All right, guys, you are Locked On Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am joined by For the Wins, Charles McDonald, formerly of the New York Daily News, to talk about the Falcons' Week 12 win over the Las Vegas Raiders.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's Locked On Falcons is presented by Pepsi, made for football watching. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, I can't wait for Andrews Pete to clear the concussion protocol and get absolutely wrecked by Grady Jarrett in week 13. And Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. So, guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong, on Twitter, at FalcFans, and of course, the host of this preeminent Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And today's episode is our recap of the Week 12 win over the Las Vegas Raiders, and helping me do that will be Charles McDonald, formerly of the New York Daily News, formerly of SB Nation, formerly of the Falcoholic, a frequent guest on the Locked On Falcons podcast in the past, but due to him covering the Jets beat over the last year, has not made as many appearances as usual. Usually Charles in previous years was like basically like once a month he would come on Locked On Falcons and we'd talk, you know, about the Falcons and the misery of being Falcon fans. And we'll get back to our old styles on today's episode. But of course, it's not so miserable right now being a Falcon fan coming off of this Raiders win. And we'll get Charles's thoughts on how Dirk Cutter compares to Adam Gase in terms of the Jets offense being historically low. So we'll try to find some way to present Dirk Cutter in a positive light by comparing him to a historically bad offense. And we'll get Charles's insights into whether or not, you know, that's the one way that Dirk Cutter comes out smelling like roses. But we'll also get Charles's thoughts on the Falcons defense and how well it's playing and whether or not its performance, particularly against the Raiders, is helping a guy like Raheem Morris go from being the interim head coach to the permanent head coach. And we'll get into that right now on today's Locked On Falcons. All right, guys, you're Locked On Falcons. Of course, I'm your host, Aaron Freeman. And today I am joined by my good friend, Charles McDonald, formerly of the New York Daily News, now joining For the Win at USA Today in the very near future, to getting back to his roots of covering the NFL at large. And now that he's no longer covering the New York Jets, he gets an opportunity to really focus and get back to his roots as a Falcon fan. And of course, that means appearing on this Locked On Falcons podcast, as he has done so many times, to talk trash about the Falcons. But maybe he's not going to be talking so much trash about the Falcons as usual on today's episode, because of course the Falcons are coming off a very impressive 43-6 win over the Las Vegas Raiders in week 12. Charles, my friend, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. You know, I've spent the past year watching the Jets and the Giants, and as soon as I had the first chance to get away from that, I started watching the Falcons again. So it's just a disease I can't rid myself of. And you know, like Bomani Jones says, to get off that narcotic, even though, you know, I think he's lying a little bit too about how much he doesn't care about the Falcons anymore. But I'm right back into it, watching them again. Like, I even rewatched like the first half of that Raiders game today. It's a sickness. What can I say?
I get it, man. I get it. I'm just like Bomani. I say, like, look, I don't care about the Falcons. And every time I say it, they suck me back in. Because, Charles, I know you've been covering the Jets professionally. You haven't had the opportunity to really sort of dig deep on the Falcons. You know, basically, how many, what I want to ask you is, how many Falcon games have you gotten the chance to see this year?
I saw the Packers game this year where they got destroyed. If they've been on prime time this year, I've seen them. So I saw the Saints game where they got destroyed by Taysom Hill, and this past week against the Raiders. So I've seen, I mean, like, three or four games at most.
Okay. Year. All right. And I'm sure you've seen the highlights of the debacles at the end of the game. So you know,
of course.
Yes. Yeah. So I just want to get that clear, but you know, I want to get your general thoughts on this Raiders game. You know, now that you've sort of seen arguably two of their worst performances, at least from start to finish, with that Packers game and their Saints game. Obviously, the ends of certain games are far worse than anything they put on film in those games. But you've also arguably seen their best performance of the year so far against the Raiders. And I'm just curious, watching this team against the Raiders, was it like a revelation to you? Or did you sort of always harbor this opinion that, you know, this is how good the Falcons can be?
Can I say I was like slightly disappointed?
Oh, okay. Let's get into that.
Look, the defense was awesome. I mean, five turnovers. You have one of the hottest offenses in the league coming in here. I mean, they just put up 31 points against the Chiefs last week. And then they come into Atlanta, and I mean, they just got railroaded by the Falcons defense, which is awesome to see. Five turnovers. I mean, you're setting the offense up with short fields like throughout the entire game. Young Hoku was fantastic. Like, I'll start there. But as I'm watching the game again, like, at least I watched the first half again today, like, come on, like, they could score like 50 points. Like, like give me a 50 burger. I mean, I think for both the turnovers, like the turnover on downs that the Falcons had in the first half, like where it was first and five and they stopped them on like four straight plays. And then you get the next drive where Foye strips Sacks Carr on the fumble. Like, you're on the Raiders side of the 50, like both times, and you get field goals out of it. It's like that stuff is a little frustrating, but I mean, it's good to be in those positions and be set up by the defense. Like, overall, obviously it's a great win. Like, when you win 43-6 and defense is that dominating, the special teams like basically flawless, or at least the kicking game is flawless. I mean, those are things you want to see, but you know, when like you're playing to get a defense like the Raiders, it would have been nice to see, you know, a little bit more production to actually get into the end zone instead of settle for so many field goals. So, I mean, you know, it's probably one of the best games that I've seen them play. It might be the best game that I've seen them play since like 2016, maybe, when you just think about how dominating it was and how complete they were able to just shut down the Raiders. But I wanted to see a little bit more from the offense, especially against a team that doesn't have a particularly strong defense. And I know that Julio's out, but whatever. I'm still upset.
I got you. No, I think it makes sense, because even when you go back to last year and some of those really good defensive performances they had in the second half of that season, you didn't really see the offense do a whole lot in a lot of those games. They just kind of like, oh, yeah, we able to turn, you know, that turnover into 3 points. You know, I can't remember how many points they scored off of the mini turnovers that Kyle Allen had in both of those Carolina games, as well as, you know, the Saints game where they sacked Drew Brees six times. But you're not talking about a prolific offense in that regard, and you're not really getting a complete game from the Falcons. You're getting a great defensive performance, good special teams, but the offense is just kind of good enough, I guess. And so I can understand being a little disappointed.
Yeah.
So I want to sort of continue today's podcast and talk a little bit more about the offense. Charles has already laid the groundwork, and we'll get Charles's thoughts sort of comparing what Dirk Koetter is doing with the Falcons offense to what he saw Adam Gase do with the Jets offense over the past year plus. And maybe for once we'll come to the conclusion Dirk Koetter's not that bad, but we'll sort of get Charles's insight on that coming up on today's Locked On Falcons. But before we get there, guys, you know that thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch, whether you're watching on TV or at Mercedes-Benz Stadium live on Sundays, or sometimes because of jobs or life or because you're traveling home on Sunday from Thanksgiving weekend at your folks' place, that you might have to watch the game later on DVR or the internet. And Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power you through any game day, no matter how you watch, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. So before we get started with your Charles McDonald for the win, I do want to plug that tomorrow's episode of Locked On Falcons is going to be the All 22 review, where I dig deep into the film to get my assessment of what the film says about this Falcon performance against the Raiders in Week 12. So make sure you subscribe to Locked On Falcons so you do not miss that episode on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever you're listening to me right now. But I'm here with Charles McDonald, and he's been covering the New York Jets as well as the Giants for the last year, what, since like October of last year?
Yeah, so basically about a year.
Yeah. So he's been watching a lot of great football in that time, and he's watched this Jets offense be historically bad this year in particular. So I'm curious, knowing that's sort of the baseline for what you have been able to put into your eyeballs, at least this season, how do you compare the Jets offense with Dirk Cutter's running of the Falcons offense?
Honestly, like, I don't think it's that much different. It's just the Falcons have way better players. Like, it's, I mean, from what you see from Dirk Cutter is really bad. It's kind of like what you're seeing from Adam Gase, except here's the thing. As much as Gase is terrible, I mean, awful. But I think a lot of Gase's play calling issues just come from the fact that he's just a freaking coward when it comes down to it. Like, he just is afraid to push the ball down the field. He thinks he's like the god screen master, like the god of screen designs, and just throwing the ball behind the line of scrimmage constantly. But, you know, like, when Gase wants to, like, he can get someone open down the field. It's just that he never, ever wants to do stuff like that. So, like, that level of cowardice is just kind of disgusting. But when you, like, to me, like, when I watched the Falcons play yesterday, it's like, where are the easy plays? Like, there's nothing going on here in the passing game that's good. And it's frustrating, like, when you finally get Olamide down one-on-one with the like early in the first quarter, you get him down one-on-one wide open in the end zone, and he just drops the freaking touchdown. It's like, you know, in that offense, these opportunities don't come that often. Like, it's hard to find spots where that usually happens. I mean, it's bad. I think Dirk Cutter in 2020 is just as bad as Adam Gase is. And to me, it's just like you have Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. So occasionally, like, you'll be able to punch the ball into the end zone a few times, you know, instead of playing with Sam Darnold, Joe Flacco, and, you know, all the receivers are hurt. So, like, you can't get into the end zone ever. I think if Adam Gase was the play caller of the Falcons, I don't know how much different it looks from what they're doing right now. Like, to me, like, the Falcons offense is just totally player driven right now with, like, almost no scheme help, which is annoying to say the least, because, like, even Sark, like, could get some, like, guys open down the field sometimes, and, like, they were still scoring the ball even if it wasn't, like, at the same rate as they were with Shanahan. Like, now it's just, like, constipated offense, and honestly, it's pretty boring to watch. Like, I've watched some boring offenses of the past year, and this is, like, right up next to them, and it sucks because, like I said, like, we got Matt Ryan, and I don't know how much longer he's going to play. Like, and even with the Dirk Cutter stuff, like, I don't think Matt Ryan's playing his best ball this year. And it's just frustrating. Like, you know, we're running out of time on this, and we're wasting it on a guy who can't even figure out how to get people open in 2020. It sucks. That's kind of where we are.
Okay. Well, you heard it here. Adam Gase, not that bad.
No. Very bad. Adam Gase, very bad. But so is Dirk Cutter. That's the take. They're both. Neither of them should be running NFL offenses in 2020. That's the take.
There you go. And the thing that both of those guys were finalists to be the Falcons offensive coordinator.
Yeah. I remember this year, it was a couple of weeks ago when the Jets played the Bills. You know, okay, maybe I'll give Dirk Cutter some credit, because I don't think he would ever do something like this. Like, when they played the Bills, and in the second half, you know, they're just having three and out. I'm like, yo. And the game ended, and I was like, wait, did they even move the ball in the second half? Like, did they do anything? So I went back to the drive chart on, like, little NFL site, and I counted, and they have 4 yards in a single half of football. Like, 4 yards. And, you know, Adam Gase got asked about that after the game. course, he's just going to deflect blame and be a bullshitter like usual. But, you know, I'll give Dirk Carter credit. He would never do something that bad. And especially that was the week after they got blanked 24-0 against the Dolphins team, who couldn't convert a third down until Tua came in the game with like 2 minutes left. Like, the Jets, you know, the Jets are an extra level pathetic. So I'll give Dirk Carter, like, he's like one step up from a dumpster fire. Like, I'll give him that.
Okay. I think the Falcons only had like 4 yards of offense in the second half for most of the second half of that Saints game last week. So
yeah, it's true. Cause I know at one point, I think maybe going to the third quarter or like after a good chunk of the third quarter, they were like -9 yards or something like that.
Yeah, something ridiculous like that. And then they had like, I think Julio got that big play on like the 4th and 13. That was like the only yards they got on that drive. And I think, you know, then they had maybe a garbage where they moved the ball halfway down the field, and I think Matt Ryan threw a pick or something like that, and that was it. But
yeah.
So okay, so I guess Dirk Cutter slightly better than Adam Gase, but they're both the worst. Okay, so good take there, Charles, and we'll spin this talking a little bit more positively about the Falcons' defense, and we'll get Charles's assessment of how Raheem Morris is handling his opportunities there, as well as maybe get Charles's thoughts on whether or not Raheem Morris has done enough or is on the path of doing enough to potentially keep the permanent head coaching job. And we'll talk about that to wrap up today's Locked On Falcons podcast. And before we get there, we know that we have to break through walls every day, whether they be mental or physical. Helping us do that is, of course, Built Go, the best workout gel on the market, brought to you by the same folks at Built Bar that bring you the best tasting protein bar on the market. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, making it fast absorbing and easy on the stomach. It's loaded with good stuff like beta alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. And collagen also promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. It literally makes you look better. And like Built Bars, it tastes better too, and comes in 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. It's a healthier replacement for your energy drink or coffee, because it's going to give you that kick you need, but it's lasting, it's natural, and won't give you the crash feeling that you normally get. So look good, feel good, and break through your walls by visiting builtgo.com. Use the promo code LOCKED to get 20% off your next order. Use that promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. So guys, here with Charles McDonald of For the Win, formerly of the New York Daily News, and want to get his thoughts on Raheem Morris and the Falcons defense from this Raiders game, his general thoughts on that. But before we get there, I do want to plug the Locked On NFL podcast, where on Tuesday you can find hosts Luke Braun and Ross Jackson giving you the latest developments, their in-depth analysis, and insightful breakdowns from around the NFL on the Locked On NFL podcast. Subscribe to Locked On NFL wherever you get your podcasts. So, Charles, I want to talk about your thoughts on what Raheem Morris is doing with this defense. It seems like the Falcons defense, ever since he took over the head coaching position, because we know that he was calling the defense in the first 5 games alongside Jeff Ulbrich, and nothing's really changed in that regard as far as we know. But it seems like, at least now that he has the top spot, that the defense has actually been pretty good. I think from a, you know, expected points added per play, something, you know, I don't know their exact figure, but they've, you know, I know going into the Saints game, they were like top 5. And I'm imagining however bad they were against the Saints, certainly balanced out by their performance against the Raiders. So they're probably still in that top 5 since week 6. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on what you're seeing Raheem Morris do with this Falcons defense?
Well, at least I mean, that Saints game, I didn't go watch that crap. Like, that was embarrassing. But at least with the Raiders game, I mean, one thing that has like kind of been interesting to me, at least from what I saw, like they've gotten pretty good like timing and setting up their blitzes. Like the first one with Boye, where he's matched up against a tight end, that was great. I mean, you've got other blitzes versus the run, especially. Like, I think their run blitzes have gotten pretty good, where they're figuring out how to get free rushes like off the line or off the edge when the ball snapped, which kind of, you know, I think really helps some of their EPA numbers, because if, you know, last time I looked, like their EPA was high in terms of, you know, stop not giving up like explosive plays or generating plays in the backfield, but their success rate was like middle of the pack. So like, I think when you see stuff like that, it's like, okay, so they're able to generate explosive plays versus the run, even if they're, you know, sometimes giving them up, which I think, you know, it's not a bad way to play defense in 2020. You know, if you're not going to be maybe the most outrun defense out there, even though the Falcons run defense for 2 years now has been pretty solid. You know, if you're not going to be the most out run defense out there, maybe you can be one that gets up the field and gets explosive plays. And I think that that's something they figured out how to do really well under Raheem Morris, just from what I've seen. And if we're going to take that Raiders game and expand it over like larger sample size. And also, you know, I don't know how much this, you know, applies to beyond the Raiders game, but AJ Terrell, wow, like he's a lot better than I thought he was going to be. I mean, I thought that, you know, the criticism he got for the LSU game was harsh because, one, that's like the only game you're going to see AJ Terrell play where he's like a person that you're focusing on because of the competition with Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson and Joe Burrow. But when you go back and watch his tape from the other games, like, you can kind of see the vision of what Dimitroff is thinking, like, when they make that pick, where you see maybe someone who's not like the most explosive athlete or like the most, you know, he's not like a Darrell Revis level athlete, but he's got these movement skills that maybe don't really show up in the combine drills that he tests at. Because when you look at like his short shuttle and his three cone, like both of those were below average, middle of the pack, but he just has like this innate ability to just kind of move with receivers all over the field. And I remember watching the training camp clips where he's going against Julio, and you know, like they're only going to show us what they want us to see from an outsider's perspective. But you know, he's hanging with Julio and he's hanging with Ridley in some of these like one-on-one drills, and like, okay, like I see where this guy could be successful in the league, but he's kind of ratcheted that up. You know, the play that sticks out to me the most was where he's got Henry Ruggs like one-on-one on that deep post yesterday. And he's with him step for step, outside leverage, and then disrupts perfectly at the catch point. And, you know, he's making tackles in the open field. You know, that the progression of him turned into, like, so far, at least probably the best corner from that rookie draft class. I mean, at least the best first-round corner. Like, he's played way better than Jeff Okuda has, who I was saying, yeah, you should trade to three and go get Jeff Okuda. Let's just make a big splash. And we've got someone who's been playing way better than him, obviously, because that's how the Falcons tend to work. You know, when you look at the run blitzes, you look at the way AJ Terrell has played, you look at the way Keanu Neal played yesterday. I mean, it looks like that he's starting to get his legs back underneath him. Maybe he doesn't have like that same, you know, car crash pop that we were used to hearing in like 2016, 2017, but a step down from that, it's still one, maybe like the hardest hitting safety in the league. So, you know, that third and one play, a third and two play to Hunter Renfro, where he stopped him like right at the line of scrimmage, and then that led to the fourth down stop. I mean, you see these guys are playing with a little bit more confidence. They seem to have like a better idea of what needs to be executed, what's expected from week to week. And like even Isaiah Oliver doesn't look like a complete scrub anymore. Like he looks like someone who maybe you think about keeping as a part of his defense as you continue to add more pieces in the secondary. I mean, it's just kind of cool to see this defense, I guess, play up to like a little higher potential or play up to closer to the potential that we think that they can. I mean, you look at the linebacker core with Deion Jones and Foye, I think they're both playing pretty well. Michael Walker, I think he's solid. I don't get the PFF love. Like, I don't understand why he's, you know, the second highest graded player on defense. I don't see all that, but when you put the three together, you look at how Terrell's playing, Keanu Neal's getting healthier, Grady Jarrett. I mean, this defense, it has the pieces. I think it just kind of maybe just need a little bit of a reboot away from Dan Quinn. And maybe Raheem Morris is doing something a little bit more. Maybe he tweaked the language or something. But they seem to be playing with a lot more confidence and just playing up more to their potential lately.
Yeah, I think that's all fair. And I would agree with most of it. That all being said, you know, where do you sort of fall on the conversation about Raheem Morris maybe potentially keeping this job on a permanent basis? I know we still got several games left, but do you sort of see a pathway? Because I'm looking at you, Charles, and I know this is an audio version. I think I kind of know what your answer is on that, but we'll get in a second. But I'm wondering if maybe there's a way that he can play himself or coach himself into the role over the next five games now?
Is there a way that you could do it? Absolutely. I mean, Because you have to remember that Arthur Blake is still the owner. And if you think about the the reasoning of, for bringing Dan Quinn back was what they went like 6-2 over the last 8 games or something like that, or 5-2 over the last 7, something in that realm, which, you know, you could look at, you could just flip it and say, well, they went 1-7 in the first. So why does that matter that much? Because like if they went 6-2 and then 1-7, you definitely would have fired him based on this logic. So, I mean, you know, I don't know if the logic would, so at least for me, I don't know if the logic would support it unless they just run the table and like actually win a couple playoff games. Could he do it? Could he wind up being the Falcons coach next year? Absolutely, because that's, I think anything's on the table right now. And Arthur Blank could definitely be prone to making a decision like that. Would I want that? No, because I think it's time for just like a hard reset of everything that happened in the last era of Falcons football. And it sucks because, like, I think Raheem is qualified to be a head coach in this league. Like, I really do believe that he is one of the best 32 options for a head coach in this league. And we can probably go into more deeper reasons on why he hasn't gotten a head coach job and why a lot of other people who look like him haven't gotten chances to be head coaches in this league. But
are you talking about the guys that are 5'10 and lower?
Yeah. Or other reasons? Yeah, guys who are 5'10", exactly. But I think for this Falcons team and where they are in terms of, you know, it's like this upcoming offense, this upcoming offseason is like a pivotal offseason in like Falcons history. I mean, you kind of got to figure out a way to play yourself to be competitive in 2021 while also looking at long-term stuff, because, you know, Ryan and Julio and Alex Mack, like, they're getting up there in age, and at some point you're gonna have to think about life after them. But I just think that this team needs a reset. They need some fresh eyes. Now let's say, you know, an incoming head coach wants to keep Raheem Morris on to be the defensive coordinator, I'd be here for that. Like, you know, I don't really know what's out there in terms of in terms of defensive coordinator prospects. I mean, there's always just going to be a random guy. Like, maybe you could find like the Rams did with Brandon Staley or whatever. But, I just think in terms of being a head coach, like this team needs a fresh set of eyes. But if that new head coach wants Raheem to be a part of the process for next year, I'm all for that. But, you know, for him just to take over as a head coaching gig, like that gives me a little bit of apprehension. You see what's happened with Jacksonville where, I mean, they still got remnants of the Gus Bradley staff on their teams. And not that the Falcons would be in that terrible of a situation, but it's just time for some new faces in Atlanta, I think.
I guess I'm curious. Last question I'll ask you, Charles. Would you have less trepidation about Raheem Morris keeping the job if you knew Dirk Cutter was not going to keep his job?
Yeah, I mean, Dirk Cutter has to go. He's not good enough. Like, he's just not good enough in 2020. It's not a great situation for him or both of us, really, for him to be continuing calling the plays. It's just if Cutter came back, that would be bad. So, like, any situation where he's involved in the 2021 offense is no good. So I think we can just leave it at that. Like, if Raheem said, you know, I'll come in 2021 – but I might bring Cotter back. No. But if he said, you know, if I took over in 2021, I'd be looking for a completely new offensive staff, then I'd be more open to it.
Okay. I think that's the sort of thing, the seed that's in the back of a lot of people's minds, including myself, where it's like, you know what, Raheem, you're going to let Dirk Cutter wind up dragging you down because, like, we need a clean break, particularly on offense, maybe not so much on defense based off of how they perform. But, Charles, man, I really do appreciate you coming on and talking some Falcons football with me, and good luck to you on your next opportunity, getting away from a toxic environment, as they say. At least that's what I saw on Twitter. It seemed very toxic. go ahead and plug where people can find your stuff on Twitter in the meantime, as well as that opportunity at For the Win coming up.
You can find me on Twitter at For the Win, or not, at For Verts. It's close enough. For the next week, I'll just be posting about nothing. I mean, maybe some Falcons clips, probably a lot of crying about not being able to get a PS5 yet. because, dude, here's the thing. Like, I didn't even want a PlayStation 5 at first because like I was like, I'll be working during the season, like I don't really need it. And then things, you know, changed and I ended up getting a new job and I was staring at like 2 weeks of doing nothing and there's not really anywhere to go outside. So like I need to get a PlayStation 5 like right now or else I'm gonna lose my mind. So, you know, the search for one kind of consumed me and became a joke within itself, as it usually does with things I take too far on Twitter. So, you know, I'll be just posting on Twitter for like the next week if you want to follow whatever my mind comes up with. And then we'll be getting into work at For the Win next week. And I'm really excited about the opportunity. Me working with my good friend Steven Ruiz, who I think is one of the sharpest NFL writers out there, even if he's, you know, not blowing up yet. I think that's coming for him soon. And I get to work with my old buddy, Nate Scott, who I sat across from at SB Nation, and I'll be reporting to him. So it's going to be really fun. And I think we're going to have a little podcast in the works. And I'm also trying to work on bringing Setting the Edge to For the Win so we can do a little gambling stuff. Look, if we can get a little stipend going, maybe that's something that we do more often. But, okay. You know, right now, That's all a little work in progress that I'm sure my boss is not aware of yet. But you know, if he's listening to this, then yeah, Nate, we're working. I'm going to work on a proposal to bring Setting the Edge to For the Win.
Okay, you've been coming on this podcast for 2 years saying we're going to do more Setting Edge, and hasn't quite.
You know, it's funny. Like we were sitting up here like, man, it's a pandemic. Like we should record more often. And we had like a whole list of guests that we wanted to call, and then. And it's funny because me and Justice, we talk literally every single day, like all day, every day, and we just never record a podcast.
There you go. Yeah, man. I have all my football conversations on podcasts just for that reason. Charles, man, I really do appreciate it, and I look forward to you know, having you back on the podcast later on. Now that you'll probably have a little bit more opportunity to watch some Falcon games, and certainly as we get into the off season and they start making big decisions, as you mentioned, in a very important off season, get your thoughts on those moves, and you know, get you back on Locked On Falcons as a frequent guest, as it has been for many years.
For sure. Just let me know.
All right, man. Have a good one. All right, everyone. That's Charles McDonald. Appreciate him for coming on. And that's it for today's Locked On Falcons podcast. Tomorrow will be our All 22 review, where I will be looking at the film of this win over the Raiders in Week 12. And if you have any film specific questions that you want me to take a look at when I'm watching the film before tomorrow's episode that you want answered on tomorrow's episode, then of course you can hit me up on Twitter at Locked On Falcons, on Facebook at Locked On Falcons, or you can send an email to LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. And if you don't have a film specific question, then you can still send those in and we'll get to it. If not tomorrow, then later on in the week. So appreciate you guys for tuning in for another Locked On Falcons episode. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Until then.